Let's go from the very bottom of Yudchesem Beis. So four lines from the bottom to the end of the line. Hahudi Amalu Asara. A person said to 10 different people, Kisvu Get Leishti. He wanted 10 people to be involved in the writing of the get. So obviously they're not all going to hold the pen together. Obviously one of them is going to write, and the rest of them are going to be Edom. They're going to be witnesses. Chosubei Treminah Viyamu. So two out of the Edom signed at the right time that the get was actually written. And the remaining Edom didn't sign until much later, until 10 days later. Now, this raises the question about a get muktam, instead of an ishta, that if a get is dated one day and has a signature signed on the next day, that raises the whole question about the kashas of the get. So here it's a little bit funny because two of the witnesses did sign at the right time, but eight of them did not sign at the right time. So now what? So ask the commander of Bishuv and Levi. So this get actually happened. And he came in front of the Bishuv ben Levi, Amalei, and he said the following psak, the top of your testament, Aleph, Kedai Rabbi Shimon b'smocho b'shas ha'chak, that we can rely on Rabbi Shimon's view under extenuating circumstances. What was Rabbi Shimon's view? Shimon was the Tan of the Mishnah, who said that the get muktam is okay. Rabbi Shimon said that the whole concern about documents that are dated early, that applies to documents involving mammon. But a get, it's not going to make a difference anyway. Not going to be any practical difference whether the get is a little bit early, a little bit late. So the get muktam is technically kosher. Now, we don't really follow the view of Rabbi Shimon, but Rabbi Shimon maybe said that we don't totally negate Rabbi Shimon. We don't totally disagree with Rabbi Shimon. We're willing to rely on Rabbi Shimon's view, b'shas ha'chak. What was the big shas ha'chak here? So Rashi explains one of two things. Either the husband had already left, he gave his get, and then he on his way to China, whatever, we have to track him down again. Or she had already been married with such a get, to more of a shasacha. So basically, we have this klal that kedai who the following time is mochel b'shasacha. The Gemara explains in the beginning of Maseches Nida that when there were machloksim between the tanoim, sometimes the issues were absolutely decided. There was an actual formal vote, and a particular sheet was outvoted. So when you have that situation, then you don't rely on that. That's yachid b'shasacha. Then it's out of the picture, and it's no longer part of the system. But the sheet wasn't absolutely outvoted. It was just simply assumed that no one's going to follow Rabbi Shimon against everybody else. There was no formal psach koch of days that did that affect. So then we're allowed to rely on that shita if you have extenuating circumstances. And here the Gemara applies that principle. So yes, the Gemara, but it's not even true. Bamarish lachis lohichshir Rabbi Shimon el yalta. We kind of got a sari yamim lo. But comes the Gemara questions that even Rabbi Shimon, who was the big lenient opinion here, Rish Lachish told us Rabbi Shimon would agree that if 10 days have passed, a long time has passed between the writing and the signing of the get. That's a problem. That's a different problem. But we mentioned in the previous year, that's a concern, says Rashi, of a get yosher. Yosher is literally an old get. If you write a get, and then the couple is together before the actual get is given, so that's another red flag in a get. It's another problem in the get. And Rish Lakish said that even Rabbi Shimon, the biggest nagel, would agree that if there's an X amount of time between the Siva and the Siva, that would pose a problem. And here there was a significant amount of time. It says the Gemara, no, that view of Reish Lakish doesn't bother us. That we follow, Rabbi Shimon Levi followed the view of Rabbi Yochanan, who wasn't concerned with that lag of time. If we know for a fact that the couple had Yichud together after the writing of the Yet, that would be a problem. But just to be concerned about it, it's unlikely that that occurred, and therefore we don't have to be concerned about that. So yes, the Gemara, if you're already following the view of Rabbi Yochanan, so then you don't have to do Rabbi Shim from Rabbi Yochanan. Shnai Mishim made Mukum Shim Tanai. According to Rabbi Yochanan, if you appoint 10 people to write a get, they're not all witnesses. Two of them are actual witnesses, and the other eight have to sign the get because that's the condition that you made. If Reuben gives a get on the condition that it rains tomorrow, so if it doesn't rain, the get is not chal. So if he gives a get to his wife and say, I'm only authorizing a get on the condition that all 10 fellows sign, so they all have to sign. But they're not signing as witnesses. They're not aiding. The first two are aiding them, and the rest are not aiding them. Simply Mishum Tanai. If that's the case, who cares when they sign? As long as the Tanai will be fulfilled, it'll be today, tomorrow, next year. As long as the aid, as long as that can be called the aid, as long as the subsequent people sign the get, get will be acceptable. Why do I care what day it was? So says the Rabbi, he creates Shlokish from the leg. Rabbi Shimon Levi held like Rabbi Shlokish that's not true. That when you tell 10 people to sign again, they're all Aiden, and therefore they're all subject to the rules of signing on time. And depending on what you think about Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanan's requirement or lack thereof to sign on time, will impact on the kashrus of this get. So the bottom line is there are a lot of things flying around. A very, very strange case, a real Maaseh Shlokish. The fellow said 10 people signed my get. Two of them signed on the right day. Eight of them signed a week and a half later. And the question is, what are the factors that go into the shadow? So number one, you have to decide, is the get muktam okay? Number two, you have to decide there was a little bit of a lag to the ksiva and the nesina. Number three, he didn't really make all 10 of them eight of them. Perhaps only two of them were eight of them, and the rest of this was shown today. So when you put together all the pieces of this shulin, so you come up with the psalms. And the Gemara says, at the end of the day, kedai Rabbi Shimon, that Rabbi Shimon Levi was willing to be lenient like Rabbi Shimon, that a get muktam was okay, and therefore, b'shas al-chak, you will be makshir even this get, although the truth is that there is actually a discrepancy between the writing and the signing of the get. So now the Mishnah begins in the Nafiyut Tesem and Aleph, a whole new aspect of Ilchus Gittin, a guy very different from any of the things we've been talking until now. The Farinechta was long gone to make a very, very quick comeback for about a couple of lines at the end of the second barak. But for the most part, the next couple of lines are talking about some of the technicalities of writing again. How do you go about literally writing the chos of law of creases? So comes the mission and says about kol kosvim. So you can use any kind of ink to write again. It's not like a sefer Torah. Sefer Torah is full of mezuzos. There's halacha moshe b'sinai. It has to be specifically black ink. But again, it does not have to be written in black. It can be written b'dyo. B'dyo is the term we use for black ink. The Psalm, the Sikro, the Kumus, of a Kankantum. So the Mishnah rattles off four different kinds of inks. Gemara is going to fill in with some of the Aramaic words, which is going to leave us about as confused as we are with the Hebrew term. And if you look at the Targum in the back, they'll give you the old German word, and you'll probably be as confused as we were with the Hebrew words. So the bottom line is the different colors. Some of them are reddishing, some of them are greenishing, some of them are yellowishing. Again, they're different colors what the ink is, but the bottom line is that all of them are acceptable, as long as the Choldavishu Shel Kayama, as long as it's a permanent kind of an ink. If you write with something that's going to easily disappear very quickly, that is not considered to be Ksiva. That's what the Mishnah gives you as an example. In Kosvim of a Mashkin, Veloma Bei Peros, Veloma Choldavishu Eina Miskayin. One cannot write again with like a fruit juice or something, or with the chicken gravy. I remember it's appropriate for Parshas Savikets. I remember as a little boy, sometimes to the chagrin of my parents, sometimes there was I like chicken grease on the bottom, a little gravy on the bottom of a plate. We would play tic-tac-toe it was a very big Shabbos afternoon activity until my mother caught us. So the bottom line is that if you would write a get with that kind of a chicken gravy, it's not going to go anywhere. Because it's not going to go anywhere because it's going somewhere. Maybe the grave is not going to last very long. That's called a Dovish Eidem Iskayim. It happens to be that with the Rabbanon, you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. Because even though you're not chaya for writing in that way, because it's not permanent, but it's non-permanent, it's still awesome in the Rabbanon. Allah Kokos, now the Mishnah continues and says that just as you can write a get with any kind of a permanent ink, you can write a get pretty much on any kind of a surface. It doesn't have to be on parchment. Actually, today they write get on paper. You can write it on a piece of wood. You can write it on anything that you want. Where even some of the strange examples that the Mishnah gives, ala olah shel zayis, you could write a get on a olive leaf. So if it's to figure out how to get the, I don't know how big an olive leaf is, so you're going to write a very quick small get. So if you write a get on an olive leaf, that would be okay. Yala keren shel para, you could even write it on the horn of a cow. The no similar as a para. The only thing is, you have to give the woman the entire cow. Why is that? That's what you must explain later on. What you can't do is as follows. You cannot write a get on something that's mechubar, something that's connected, and then cut it off, then take it apart. So say, for example, if you write a get on a tree, and you chop down the tree and hand the tree, hand the branch to the woman, that's no good. That's what's called mechusa ketitza. The Gemara learns that from Sukkah later on. But there cannot be a break between the ksiba and the nesida, between the writing and the giving and the get. If you have to detach the get between the point of ksiba and nesida, that will disqualify the get in that Torah. So too, if you write the get on the horn of a cow and you cut off the horn and handle the horn, that's possible in that Torah. If you handle the entire cow, that would be acceptable. Or al yad shel eved v'nosi los eved. Or if you want to get very creative, you could write the get on the hand of an eved kna'ani, and hand are literally the entire eved. So that would also be okay. So again, obviously the Mishnah is giving you some very, very bizarre examples. I expected to write it like this. We're trying to highlight the fact that pretty much anything goes in terms of the surface of the get. However,
in the eved aspect, it's a little different than the others. The other ones are can be kept for eternity. The last thing and proof writing on person, the fact that it's eved, is so like secondary and presents a problem because it's not something it could be washed away, it could disappear. It doesn't
get anything can happen. Get lost, it gets converted.
From the beginning, it doesn't have any permanence.
So there's a little bit of a difference in what's called permanence here. There is no requirement that the woman holds on to the get for the next 50 years. If she wants to use it as a proof, then she'll hold on to it, but she doesn't really technically have to. In fact, today, we don't even let the woman hold on to the get. We give them a get and they take it back from them, and we write up another document testifying that she's actually has received the get in the past. The halach is that, according to many Rishonim, the surface has to be something that can last. I mean, that's not so posh. The Tosfos' opinion is that if you write a get on something that disintegrates on its own, that's going to be a problem. But the hand of the Eved is not disintegrating on its own. The Eved may die. The Eved may get lost. But that's a mice. That's something that you have to do to actually remove the get. The get's not going to disappear on its own. So anything that's going to last for a significant amount of time on its own, that would be an acceptable get.
What?
You said a leaf. Leaf with it. So that's what Tosfos points out. On the top of Chav Aleph Mubeis, Tosfos quotes a Tosefta, Davka Ola Shel Zayis Chesed Miskayim. He said to Ola Shel Zayis for whom the last Chodov Shishu Chayama. Ola Shel Kreishin B'Tzolim. So if you write an onion leaf or something, it's going to disappear right away. So that get is actually not going to be good. That's what Tosfos quotes from the Tosefta. And the Rambam is speaking with that. So if we want to get that test in the insurance, so we'll have to, we're going to skip those. But we're going to see in a second what some of the possible problems with the Eved and the leaf are. Biyosef Muli says that some of the cases in the Mishnah are actually not acceptable. In case the law of Rechayim, Flola Ochlim. Biyosef Muli has a drasha, which I was going to talk about a little bit later on, that anything that either is alive or is edible as food is not acceptable for a get. So that's why Biyosef Muli disqualifies some of the leaves and disqualifies the fur, disqualifies the Eved, etc. And we don't paskin like Biyosef Muli, we paskin on like Kol Kosvit. Anything and everything can be used to write again. So the Mishnah is pretty lenient in that the ksiva, both in terms of the ink that's used and in terms of the background, there aren't any real halachas that govern neither of those two things, except for maybe that has to be permanent. But short of that, you want to write a purple get on the back of an olive leaf or something, that's okay, as long as it wasn't mechubar at the time, wasn't connected at the time of the era. The Gemara now just goes to explain, just technically, this translation, what some of these terms in the Mishnah are. Dio is the yuta. That refers to that dio. Dio is always the term that's used for black ink. Sam is a sama. It's another kind of, Rashi gives you the orpiment, whatever you check your old French in terms of that. Sikra means happens to be a red ink. So Rashi says, seva adom, shigor, miyu. So Gemara says, sikra, marabu, machana, sikra, sashma. It's known in Aramaic as sikrasa. Kumus is kuma. Rashi gives you some kind of a tree resin. Kankantum amarabu rachana mishmur charta da ushkafe. It is adramant. Okay, so you want to check up what that is. The bottom line is all of these inks are all the inks are acceptable. Anyone have English? Anyone have the article?
Yeah.
So when do we have the official English terms in some of these inks? Do you have any real terms?
Mint yellow arsenic. Sisra red pigment.
Yeah.
Scarta.
Something that they don't know either, okay.
Gum,
okay.
Arabic gum,
okay. Okay, good. Bottom line, it's all the inks are acceptable. Any colors of the inks are acceptable. So now the Mishnah gave almost a generalization. First, the Mishnah singled out the specific inks, and then it says, oh, by the way, everything is okay. So obviously, that's coming to include something. So what is that coming to include? Lasuya had the Tani Rabbi Chanina. That which Rabbi Chanina taught us in a brisa, that if a person writes a get with the following a mixture, so may avtsa or gallnuts, if I'm not mistaken, some kind of a derivative of the gallnuts that makes some kind of a color, and it's mixed together with Rashi, but different opinions. either it's mixed together with water, or it's not really mixed with water, but rather the gallus is soaked into the water. It's some kind of a concoction of this ink that would be acceptable as well. Tani Rabbi Chiya, Rabbi Chiya taught us, Kosmo be'ever b'shachol b'shichor kosher. If a person writes a get with Aver, Aver is lead. So Rashi says, Shafal first with Mayim Mashchirim. You soak the lead, that would be acceptable. You make some kind of a liquid ink out of that. Or B'shachor, Rashi says, a Pachamim. You roll with charcoal. Or B'shichor, the Shchars of the Ushkibi. That's going back to what we said, one of those inks that we mentioned before. All of the above would be kosher. Okay, so now that we are well versed in the inks of the third century, now let's see if we get back a little bit back to the regular halacha. So comes the Gemara with the following discussion. Now the Gemara crosses the line between Maseches Gittin and Maseches Shabbos. Hopefully, again, later in the year, if we get to these sugyas a little bit more beyond, this is hopefully meant to show next semester. I'm going to start pretty much with the Bachur and the Shiva. We got up to that around the Vav and the first man. Then we're going to move into beginning these sugyas here. So this is one of the major sugyas where the Gemara begins to cross the line between the definition of Ksiva and Gittin and the definition of Ksiva and Shabbos. You know that Kosev, writing on Shabbos, is one of the third Rambam Halachos, and there are many similarities, yet several differences between the two. So the sugya begins as follows. Itmar, we learned, Hamavid Dio Agabe Sikra B'Shabbos. If a person has words that are written in red ink, Sikra is the red ink, and now he goes over them, he traces over them in black. Is that considered to be a malacha on Shabbos or not? So the start point of the discussion is the principle the Gemara is about to develop called ksav al gabi ksav. Let's say I take a pen and I write over the pre-existing aleph beis. So I write, it's ready aleph there. I take a pen and I make it a little bit darker. Take a pen and make the beis a little bit darker. Is that called writing on Shabbos? Well, so that's not writing on Shabbos. What do you do? The letter was there before. The letter's here now. What did you do? You made it a little bit darker. That's not considered to be an act of ksiv. That's called ksav al gabi ksav. So it comes in where, well, it's not something that's today is when I'm coloring like a color dye, paint something. Here, my purpose is not to color something. My purpose is to write, but the letters are there already. So it comes in where I raise the question, what if the first writing was in a different color and it was considered to be an inferior color? So usually black ink is the highest quality ink. That's what we write. That's the greatest way of writing. Writing with red ink was considered to be a low-level kind of writing. So comes in and says, what if there were red letters there already, and I go ahead and I blacken the red letters? Now, you know, is that called writing? Is it not called writing? So on the one hand, I did do something. I took a low-level ink and I made it into a higher-level ink. On the other hand, it was legible before, it was readable before. So did I really do anything or not? So that was the discussion. Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish Tamid Shuvayu. So here Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish agreed. Usually they disagreed. Yeah, they saw eye to eye on the following topic. Chayev Shtayim. The person is Chayev twice on Shabbos. He actually violated two different malachas for putting black ink on top of red ink. What were the two malachas? Achas Bishim Kosev. He's Chayev for writing because he wrote on Shabbos. Even though we have a rule called Ksava Gabi Ksava is not considered to be an act of Kosev. But here, since the second act of Kosev improved over the first one, you did accomplish something. It was a very, very weak kind of a writing. It was a red ink, which is not a high quality ink. And you made it better into a black ink. So that anti quality ink is considered to be the malach of Kosev. And on top of that, you also violated the issue of mochek. You erased because you used to have red letters. Where are the red letters? They're gone. So you basically, by covering over the red letters with black ink, you erased the red ink and you wrote black ink. So says the Gemara, you did it twice for that one. You violated two different malachas on Shabbos. You violated the malach of writing and the malach of erasing. Now the Gemara continues, Dio agabe Dio, what if you wrote black ink on top of black ink or Sikra agabe Sikra, or you wrote red ink on top of red ink, so Potter. Then for sure, you're going to be Potter. Because in those two cases, either black or red, you accomplish nothing. If it's black on red, it's great. I mean, not great for you, the Mechal Shabbos, but that's great in terms of the writing. So black on red is a double chiyuv for Mochi and Kosev, but either or, black on black or red on red, is potter. Potter means it's only a disadvantage of bottom, and a Torah is not a violation of Shabbos. But now comes the Mechal. Sikra agabit yo. What would the halacha be if you wrote red ink on top of black ink? So that's a little bit tricky, because on the one hand, you changed colors. On the other hand, you kind of went down. means you had a nicer ink, and now you remove the nicer ink to get to the lower level ink. Is that considered to be kosher in Torah and Shabbos? Amir l'chayev, amir l'plotur. So that was a machlokes. Amir l'chayev. The one who says that you chayev is mocheku. You're not chayev for writing because your writing was actually a step down in quality. You know, Shabbos, you're only chayev when you improve things, you do things better. That's called chayev and Shabbos. So here, in terms of the letters themselves, you had this grandiose black writing, which now turned into this this red, low-level kind of a writing. So to say the Yechayah for Kosek, that can't be. But maybe Yechayah for Mochek, because you erased the black letters. So you started out with good Bishmach, a really stack of black letters. You erased them by putting red ink on top of them. So Yechayah Bishmach Mochek. The Amilah, the other opinion says, Potter, no, because Bekalkelu, because what you did was basically destructive. What you did was negative. Was not a positive act on Shabbos. In order to be chayev on Shabbos, you have to do something derech mesakei. It has to be a positive kind of activity. If it's derech kilkul, if it's destructive, so then you're going to be potur. So bottom one is, if you just write black and black and red, that's absolutely nothing. If you go up from red to black, that's chayev. If you go down from black to red, for kosher, it's not mochek, maybe yeah, maybe no. So now the Gemara takes this whole discussion and begins to plug it into Hilchos Gittin. So, bo minei Mishlokesh Rabbi Yochanan. Mishlokesh asks Rabbi Yochanan the following question. Eidim she'en yodim lachtom. What if we're about to sign the get? We call up two Eidim to sign the get, and small techno, they whisper into our ears, we don't know how to write. We don't know how to sign their names. They're the only guys around. So how in the world are they going to sign their names for this get? So maybe what we can do is as follows. Maybe we should write their names first, and they'll just kind of, you know, trace over it. They'll just kind of, you know, strengthen it. So the Gemara says, that's ridiculous. Can't do that. Because once we just told us in Ruchu Shabbos that the first writing is the one that counts, Ksav Agav Ksav doesn't register, doesn't count as writing. So they didn't sign their names. So let's say there's a relative here who knows how to sign his name. Or the husband's going to sign the names of the witnesses. They're going to sign the name of the witnesses, and the witnesses are going to trace over it. That's not going to do the stunt, because that'll be a ksav agav ksav. So their signatures won't really be halachically theirs. So Reish Lakish asked Rabbi Yochanan the following question. Maybe we should write their names in red, v'yachtamu, and they'll sign over that in black. So just as we said in Hilchos Shabbos, that writing black over red is called an act of kosei because you improved the get. You say you improved the ksiva. So too, we can sign their names in red. They'll write over it in black, and that'll register as a ksiva, or in this case, a chasima. So,
what is a good ksiva? How do we
able to verify? Oh, very good. It's going to be very, very hard to keep stars on that one, right? Again, the ability to keep stars is not going to kill us. Hopefully, no one's going to be Messiah. No one's going to claim it's a Zia. It could be the husband standing here. We're not really so worried about being Kim Shtarish, right? So we kind of hard to we can't match that. So comes the and says, what's the din? Ma'al shir tu l'hem b'sik rav yachtu. Ksav el yom ksav, o eno ksav. Do we say that the top writing, since it's black, and the lower level of writing is, lower layer is red, maybe that's called the ksav, or maybe not. So amalei eno ksav. So Rabbi Yochanan responded back, no, it's no good. At the second level, is not considered to be writing. So I'm away. So Shlokesh answered Yochel, wait a second. Only by the Tana Rabbeinu, Rebbe, Shlokesh was his Talmud, Shlokesh was with Yochel's brother and Talmud. So Shlokesh said to Rabbi Yochel and said, wait a second, the Tana Rabbeinu, Rebbe, you taught us, said that we just said 5 lines ago that the second writing is considered to be kosher for the purposes of Shabbos. So it was saying that Yechayim on Shabbos, we're basically saying that the second ksav, the black on red, is called an act of kosev. If it's called an act of kosev in Hilchos Shabbos, why can't we call it an act of kosev in Hilchos Gittin and accept a get where the bottom layer was written in red and the Eidim themselves were right on top of that in black? Amaleh Yochanan responded, the chimib neshar medam and nasim. I said, just because we thought that Yechayev on Shabbos, we're going to be made to Hilchos Gittin. So the Machlok is how to read this. Rashi reads the simple Pshat in the Gemara is, Rashi says that we don't really know that you chayev on Shabbos. We said, don't do it on Shabbos. We think it may be this at the Raisa, but we're not quite sure. This idea of going from red to black, maybe a ksiva, maybe not a ksiva. So in Hilchos Shabbos, we're going to say, you better not do it. In Hilchos Gittin, we're not going to use that svar to be naked. We're not going to be machshir get based on our suspicion that going from red to black is considered to be writing. So therefore, in terms of Hilchos Gittin, we're not going to do the stunt. We're not going to let you write red and then have the Edom write black. So what do we do? So Edom Shabbos, we learned Edom Shabbos, Yom Lachtam. So what is a good solution if the Edom really don't know how to sign their names? So Rav Omar Mekarim Hem Niyacholach Umamas Akrem Diyo. So Rav says what you should do is you should scratch the letters, make little indentations into the bottom of the cloth paper or something, and that's not really called writing. And then let them fill in the ink, so they'll technically be making the signatures. Again, obviously, it'll be a tough time doing Kiyum Shtaros on that, but at least we'll have their names signed by their pen on the bottom. Shmuel says that we should do as follows. We should take some lead and we'll write the signatures in lead and they'll write on top of it in ink. How can you tell me that we're going to write in lead? We know that writing in lead is called ksav, that if we ourselves would sign the get in Aver, that would be acceptable. So the whole goal is to get the Adam to sign over something that is not a pre-existing ksav. So once you tell me about Tani Rabbi Chiya Kasum Ebe Shach Mishicha Kosher, the Brice said at the beginning of the Sugya that if you write a get with lead, so the get is kosher. So then how in the world can simply writing on top of that ink solve the problem? The Gemara says, no, it depends. Lokasha Ba'avra Ba'maya Da'avra. That it depends whether you just rubbed a piece of lead or you made some kind of an ink out of the lead mixture together with water. So Rashi says that if you just take a piece of lead and just kind of rub it, apparently that's not going to last very long. That would be a ksav she'en shel kayama. And when the Edom put black ink on top of that lead, little mashu looking like the resemblance of letters, so that would be considered to be a chasimus Edom. If the get was already written with a lead pencil, already written with a lead solution, so then the game's over. It was already signed with something that was already ksav, then the stunt is not going to work. So other Amorim came up with other eggs about this was not such uncommon practice. A lot of people didn't know how to sign their names. So Rabbi Abo, Amma B'mei Milan. So Rabbi Abo said what you should do is that you should get this gulnut mixture or something. And apparently that's not considered to be writing. And then we'll write on top of that. Yes, remember, Tani Rabbi Chanina, Kasav Mei Taiv after Kosher. The same kind of question. We learned that is Kosher. That's considered to be an acceptable writing again. So the Kasha, the office had low office. Amy Miller got me. So the other Gemara tells us that whether this gulnut mixture is considered to be writing or not depends on whether the parchment itself was treated with this mixture. There are part of the process of preparing cloth sometimes in the old days, they would soak the skins in this kind of a mixture. So the skin itself, the parchment itself, would get this color of the maymilin. So now if you're going to write maymilin on top of that, it's not going to be too visible. So that's not considered to be a ksiva. If you have a brown cloth and you write with brown marker or brown cloth, so you're like the kids look on the construction paper, they make different colors, then they think red marker on a red construction paper. Am I see, can't see it? So that would not be considered to be a ksiva. And therefore, if we want to prompt the Adam and write that color on top of the pre-existing color of the cloth, that would be enough for us to the kosher see it, and then the Adam particularly fill it in on black. But if it's a clear piece of cloth and we write with this gulma mixture on top of it and it's visible, clearly visible as a chasima, then obviously the Edom cannot sign on top of that. So the bottom line is it's all the halachos are the same. The bottom line is if you want to have to prompt the Edom a little bit, give them something that they can trace over, it has to be something that in itself is not technically considered to be an act of chasima. A pup came in another eitzah. It says baroque. He said you could write with some saliva, something like that's going to disappear very, very quickly. But the Edom couldn't trace over it in black ink. And Rapapa actually did this. Rapapa had this fellow, his name was interesting. Rapapa's name was Papa. He had this person who didn't know how to sign his name. He was yesterday one of the Edom to forget. So he had him, Rapapa wrote a little bit of saliva first, and he quickly traced over the black before we disappeared.
Can I ask you a simple question? If the person just put an X or like a whether it's that as a teaching.
Well, it has to be a chassid. It has to be something that he uses as a general signature. It doesn't have to be literally his name. Might tell us stories later on that there were some Amorim who had symbols, they had like pictures. They saw a picture of a fish. That was their signature. I mean, you look at signatures, change letters. That's okay. As long as a signature, this is the way the person, he wrote this as a identification mark for himself. So that would be okay. It has to be some kind of a real identification to look at it and see that this is what the person's name or symbol is.
Sounds like it's a chatzilah. If it were the Bihani, you should go find
something else. Oh, that's about the Gemara's about to say. How do you begin it? The Gemara says the only reason we're following all these kunsim, all these coolers, is because it's a get and it's hard to find somebody else. And the Rashi says that if it was going to explain a little bit later on, there are no other eggs around. So by Gittin, we don't want to dilly down or waste time by a get until we go find another egg. The husband's going to change his mind. So by Gittin, we're a little bit of a pressure. So we're going to let this funny kind of shtaros. The guy wants to buy a field, go find two witnesses. You can't find two guys in the whole city who know how to sign the name, but that's not. So writing Gittin with saliva. You get it, normal, get people to write the get. Now, the oven of the Mishnah shtaros, there was somebody who pulled off the stunt by a regular knock with the Nagir of Kahana. Kahana gave the guy Malkus, not a punishment, but he said, this is a cheapening of the system. This is going to add to dishonesty. We don't like this. We're creating shtaros that are very, very hard to identify. A bad system. I get the never putting in the lays bearer. So hopefully, we should continue on next time with the Sunday. The girls continue with the story of these funny kinds of writings where you can't find regular aid. Sure. Tuesday,
legal holiday.
Oh,
we could do it later.
Change the time if you want.
Yeah.